Hope you had a good warm afternoon. I want to thank you for being about your father's business today and this evening. I want to welcome everyone and any visitors among us especially. Now, we're going to get back into our series through the book of Acts. Took a break last 2 weeks. We had Lads to Leaders lesson last Sunday, and it was the fifth Sunday, Church Eat Church, one before that. And so we're going to continue. I got several more, at least five more, I think, that I want to do in the book of Acts. And we'll kind of hopefully throw in some Lads to Leaders PowerPoint lessons in there. But we're just to kind of take it into the new year and see what happens. So that's where we're going to be at this evening, Acts chapter 13. We've made it that far. Oh, I did want to read a poem here. And in many ways, this lesson is an extension of our lesson this morning, talking about the Father's business. Because what we're going to see here, we're going to learn three things here in this example of Saul, and this is where his name's changed to Paul in the middle of this. And we're going to see three things, learn three things in this. Well, with Barnabas, of course, because they were busy with the Father's business. And so we're going to learn some things of that. But I did want to read this poem here real quick. And it's titled The Christian Candle. And it's based on Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And this poem, it makes us reflect upon how our Christian life ought to be. Right, or at least I'm sure what we hoped it would be. And so let me read it to you. It begins, "There's a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There's a spirit who brings fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused, and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see, take your candle and go light your world. Frustrated brothers, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired, and the worn. Hold out your candle for all to see, take your candle and go light your world." And I just appreciate that short little poem. Fits with what we're thinking about here this evening. When we think about it, what our Christian life ought to be, right? And so maybe have that in mind here. Maybe, throw in your mind a little bit what we talked about this morning. You know, when a church wants to get busy with the Father's business, to go out there and live out this mission that we've been given, if you remember that from this morning, from Mark 16, 15, and 16. Before we get a lesson here, what I was thinking about is, when we're going to be about the Father's business or working the works of God, John 6 that we looked at there also, the first thing we must do, the first place that we must go is to God. Right? And we're going to read that, or we had a little bit of that in our scripture reading. It has to begin with God. We come to that point, I want to be about the Father's business. I'm ready to work the works of God and get busy with my mission. The first place we must go to God is go to Him in prayer. Right? That's where it has to begin. And that's what we see here as this chapter begins in Acts chapter 13. Right? And so it's seeking God, seeking those doors that He's already opened and praying for more doors of opportunity to be open. Right? That's the Father's business. Right? That's what we need to be busy with. Looking for those doors that are already open and praying for more open doors, right? Open our eyes to seek opportunities to give us the courage. Right, many times a door's open, we see the door of opportunity to be about the Father's business, carry out our mission, but we just check it out, right? We don't have the courage, or Satan gets in there, they don't want to hear this, right? It'll make things awkward. You don't want to do that, right? And just whatever. And we just kind of get scared. And so we need to pray for the courage to overcome that. You know, pray for the courage to be about the Father's business, to carry out our mission. And so in our study text here in Acts chapter 13, it's going to be verses 1 through 12, if you have your Bible open there. And like I said, three things, three examples of what we're called to do. Right? If you actually go over there to chapter 11, if you remember, the folks that are following Jesus, first place they're called Christians is at Antioch. And so we're reading about Antioch. So there's a shift now in the book of Acts. Everything before this was mainly Peter in Jerusalem. So remember how the book begins, that outline, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world, right? So Peter is the Jerusalem and Judea portion of that. Now it's a change. Paul, he's going to be going on that missionary journey for the remainder of the book, out of Antioch. It's no longer Jerusalem, it's Antioch is a key place. And I know that, you know, we're not saved by memorizing Paul's missionary journeys. You know, and I think maybe we get too focused on that sometimes, to just the exact bullet points and where he's going and all that, which is fine if you can memorize that. But the important thing is what's being taught in those missionary journeys. And so that's what's happening here going into chapter 13, Paul's first missionary journey. And so I want you to see number one. We got three main points, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but we're going to kind of shrink this lesson a little bit because we've got cookies and cocoa with the kids after this. And so we're a little bit shorter than a normal Sunday evening lesson. And again, everyone's invited, if you didn't know, everybody. All right, so even if you're not going to eat cookies, right, let's go over there and let the kids know that we appreciate them in that. But number one, first of three points this evening, let's talk about God's missionary journey and see what we see in this. And it starts a group of church leaders here. If you're looking at it, verse 1, right, they're named, who the Bible tells us in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And, you know, think about they somehow saw a benefit, these church leaders, to set aside everything else, including food, to just worship and minister to God collectively. Now, translation you read out might say serve. That's that Greek word latreo. It can be translated as worship there. And so they're ministering, worshiping, fasting, praying, and the Holy Spirit has communicated to them something profound there in verses 2 and 3. Right now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. All right, and then they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and they sent them away. Right, so they just began by saying, basically, you know, God, reveal, you know, what your will is for us in this. You know, and they were moved by the understanding of the Spirit, who said, Barnabas, Saul, right, I've got a purpose for them. I need them to go accomplish, right? In other words, be about the Father's business. You know, Holy Spirit said, you know, I want you, the church, to commission them to go out and work, right? Set them apart for me. Continuing in fasting, praying and fasting, right? They laid hands on them and they set them to do the work. I don't know if you've ever done any short-term or even long-term missionary work, or you know, maybe you went on a door-knocking campaign, or maybe you went and helped a smaller congregation with their VBS or whatever. You did something for the church. You're out there working some kind of missionary work. It didn't have to be overseas. But it would be my guess, when you did that, you might have been a little nervous, but I bet you got excited about that. There's just something about it, you know, you get excited, right? And you really believe, you know, God was with you in that endeavor, this work that you're a part of, and, you know, for whatever reason, you were compelled to do it. And you're doing that work to bring him glory, and you just got excited doing something for God. I think that's kind of what we can see in this. And, you know, and listen, I want to challenge you to believe something. We're to be missionaries for God, you know, 24/7, 365, right? So whatever you're going to do tomorrow, you know, understand it in the sense of you're out on a mission. That's a missionary journey, a mission. That you're on a mission to reflect Christ to the world around you, right? To bring light to a world dying of sin and darkness. So you're always on a missionary journey. So be mindful of that in everything that you do, right? You know, we're going to be just good people, right? And we're just going to, you know, because people are watching us, right? Christians ought to be just, you know, and a kind of a common phrase, and I know it's secular in nature, but, you know, there's some truth to it. I don't know if you've seen it much lately. It says be a good human, right? Maybe you've seen that. You know, just be a good Christian, right? We're the people that put up our shopping carts in the parking lot. We're the people that don't litter, right? We're the people that don't cut you off in traffic and yell at you and road rage. And we're the people that open the door for others and say please and thank you, right? And all of that, I think it's part of our mission, right? Just being good, decent, polite, honest people, right? When we work for somebody, we do it to the best of our ability, right? Because we're honoring Christ. And people notice that, right? And then, of course, we want to reflect Christ to them. But you can't do that if we're not being good people in all the other areas. So just something to throw out there. You know, Paul would say to the church at Ephesus, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And Paul would tell the Philippians, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ," right? So your life is God's missionary journey 24/7. You don't have to be sent off to a far land, you know, Tanzania or something, to be a missionary, right? You be a missionary here in this community, right? Whether you're going to work, you're retired, or you're doing whatever around town. Right, that moment that you know, we obeyed the gospel, going along with our theme this year, right? We're basically saying, "Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor, right? I want you to use me for your glory." That's part of your mission. That's the Father's business that we talked about this morning. But here's something we need to be mindful of before we go to the second main point. You know, the moment you decide to do that for the Lord, watch out, because it's not going to be easy, right? Because along the way, when you start doing the work that God has placed upon you that he wants you to do, watch out, right? You're turning to God. You're leaving a self-centered life. Watch out, right? You're out there living your life for his righteousness, for his sake. Watch out, right? Jesus would tell the crowds that you're light of the world, a city set on a hill which can't be hidden. You know, I want you to be reminded of this, that, you know, God's not the only one at work in this world. Right? Ephesians 6 and verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places," right? So Satan, he's always doing his work too, right? And his work's to discourage us, to scare us, you know, telling you it just costs too much to be about your Father's business, to be on that missionary journey, right? So, you know, sometimes we get excited about living for the Lord, living a life that draws people to him, but watch out. You know, Satan's out there. He's going to do what he can to stop you, and I want you to know that. So part two here, or second point, go back to Acts 13. I want you to think about making a stand. So read with me for a moment here. Let's read verses 4 through 10. "So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" And so Paul here, we see he's going to make a stand against Elymas, translated from Bar-Jesus, and the Lord there is making a play on words, by the way, I'll mention in a moment. So really, Paul makes a stand against Satan here, right? Against one of Satan's greatest weapons, discouragement. Barnabas, Saul, they're doing great mighty works on the island of Cyprus. So much so, the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, right? He sums up, hey, I want to hear the word of God. Right, and we just see an opportunity God had opened up for them, but Bar-Jesus, known by his Greek name, Elymas, that the sorcerer there, he opposed him. Right, he because he didn't want the proconsul to become a Christian. And Elymas was a schemer there in verses 9 and 10, right, perverting the straight ways of the Lord. You see, when you start with God in prayer, and you live a life of purpose, a mission, right? You're about the Father's business. You're living that life that God wants to, that God directs. Watch out, because the devil, he's going to try to step in and stop you. Right? And you know, we just need to be aware of what we're going to face if we make that decision to live out our missionary journey every day for the Lord. And so Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, you know, his name is son of Joshua. In other words, literally son of Jesus. And, you know, you're going to face people who call themselves sons of Jesus, but really they're sons of the devil. Right? You're going to face opposition, and you're going to be called upon to decide, what are you going to do? You're going to stand up and face that evil, or you're going to back away. All right, number three, our fight, and this is the title of the lesson. And we mentioned this when we did our Soldiers of Christ, Lads to Leaders, Levi's PowerPoint, right? That lesson there, we're being reminded that we're at war, right? Spiritual warfare, right? And the devil, he attacks us, and he doesn't stop. There in Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to read with me verses 10 through 13, right? This armor that we read about. "And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And we read verse 12 just a moment ago. Now go to verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Right? So we need armor. If you jump over to 1 Peter chapter 5, listen to the words of Peter if you haven't thought about these words in a while. Chapter 5, beginning of verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." You know, if Satan was willing to meet Jesus head on there in the wilderness, and seek to tempt him. You know, what makes you think he won't come after you or come after the church? Right? So we need to be aware of that and be willing to just step up and fight like Paul and Barnabas in our main text. And I wanted to read this. We've been talking about it in our Wednesday class on Revelation. Remember this? Who our enemy is? Revelation chapter 12. Right? In chapter 12 and 13, those five battles. So this is that second battle beginning in verse 13. Let's just be reminded of this, and then we're gonna wind down our lesson here. Now when the dragon saw, now this is Satan, if you jump back to verse 9, the serpent of old, the devil Satan. Right now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, but the woman was given two wings of great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed out water from his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So just a text there to remind us of our enemy. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop until Jesus returns, right? And we have that great and terrible day of judgment. So if you keep the commandments of God, hold the testimony of Jesus, then know he's after you, right? And the more you're out there living out your missionary journey, the more you're out there, you know, focused on the business of the Father, he's going to attack you. Right now, in that, though, we're going to mature more in our faith. We're going to be able to withstand the darts and the wiles and schemes of the devil. So it does strengthen us. You know, Satan here, go back to Acts 13, he didn't want Sergius Paulus to come to know Jesus at all. Right? And this man had influence, political ties, his position. And so, you know, you got a Limus there that's going to stand in the way. So let's finish up here. Look at verses 11 and 12, right? And of course, we don't have the miraculous power Paul had, but I love what happens at the end of this portion of his missionary journey. Let's read verses 11 and 12. And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Because remember, he's perverting the straight way of the Lord. And you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. You know, what a blessing it is when a plan comes together, right? When there is success. And that success is, you know, that we fulfill the mission that we've been given, right? To get that message out there, to watch someone who was lost come to know Jesus and obey his gospel. So by way of conclusion, let's understand three things. The lesson is yours. Understand, number one, that you are on a missionary journey right now. All right, 24/7, 365. That is to be our main focus, right? It's our main focus. It's not our second focus. It's not our second business. It's our main business, right? We're on God's missionary journey, and we need to understand that you got to make a stand to get that message out there to a lost and dying world, right? We don't water down the message. We don't smooth off the rough edges to make it more palatable, right? God knows what he's doing. We get that message out there and it's truth. Listen, good truth-seeking hearts out there, they're going to respond. And then number three, don't forget we are in a great spiritual battle against Satan and his forces. But like we talked about this morning when we finished up that lesson, there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 and following, the battle's already been won. Right, Jesus defeated death defeated sin and Satan for us. The battle's already been won. And we are the only people that can really truly be on a missionary journey from God, because, you know, the fear of death is gone. Right? We don't have to worry about that anymore. We could remove that from our worries. You know, we're not afraid of death. Right? We've been set free from sin and death. So now I got time to be about the Father's business. And so this evening, if you are here and you are subject to the gospel invitation, remembering that the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, right? That's the glad tidings. That's the good news. Right? Have you been immersed into Christ, reenacting his death, burial, and resurrection? Have you done that? Right? That's a call for you to do with a response of trust and obedience. If you haven't done that and you want to know more about that, let's sit down and study it. Let you read those words for yourself. And, you know, I'm not making it up. I want you to see that. So if you're subject to that, let somebody know. Or if you're in need of prayers or encouragement, or you need to bring something before the church, I don't hesitate. Let them know as we stand, as we sing.